Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Serving up all your favorite whiskey, wine, and local craft beers Tuesday through Saturday. You can swing by and visit them this week for some live music happening Thursday, July 5th. You'll have the Ralph account on Friday, July 6th, making his Naked Vine debut. Big Mike Aguirre solo, 8 o'clock. And on Saturday, July 7th, the Bedlam Brothers will be out there at 8 o'clock. So check out Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and follow along at the full calendar at nakedvine.net. And don't forget, Tuesday, July 10th, I'll be back out there with my singer-songwriter storytelling show with Gavin McNutt, Elliot Pearson, and Sean Corray. It's going to be a great time. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. Thanks for checking out this episode of Rock Paper Podcast. I have a couple of exciting things I want to share with you, including July 8th over at the Old Rock House, this year's fourth annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show, featuring Old Souls Revival, The Scandaleros, Matthias and the Pirates, The Many Colored Death, and Sophisticated Babies. And that's a 2 p.m. start for music, doors at 1. It's a $10 cover. Tickets can be purchased today at metrotix.com, the oldrockhouse.com, and or you can purchase them from me at the door also. So come on out to that show. It's going to be a great night. I'm super excited about this lineup, and this party's for you guys, the listeners, the past guests, the fans, friends, everybody. So let's have a great night. Official after party with the Falling Fences over at McGurk's. So keep the party going all night long. Also coming up on July 10th is the next edition of my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase I've been put together. This is a monthly series. This one features Gavin M., Sean Corray, and Elliot Pearson. And that's a $5 cover for that show over at Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri. And that'll be a 7 to 9 show. So come on out. This is, if you haven't been out yet, this is a super intimate listening room experience type of show. All three writers on stage at the same time singing songs and telling stories behind them. And it's really a great time. So come on out to that one. And I also want to give a big shout out to my friends that have been helping me out recently. My friends at Dynamic Screen Printing for their help putting together shirts. So I have some brand new shirts, blue and black ones. And if you're interested, let me know and I can deliver one for you if you live in the St. Louis area. And a big shout out to Bo over at New Scar Design for his help with the singer-songwriter storytelling showcase poster, which looks great. So thanks, Bo, and thanks, Dynamic Screen Printing. So be sure to support all these wonderful local artists and these people making it happen, all these great businesses. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope to see you out of these shows. And wherever you go, take Rock Paper Podcast with you. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks, everybody.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Samantha Clemens, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Samantha Clemens. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Shane. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm this is
very cool. Excited.
Oh yeah, very excited too. This is very cool because like a lot of these have been happening and I talk about it quite a bit, but like which is it's just neat that we have the internet to for this kind of stuff where we can kind of start talking online, we get to meet, and then like that's exactly how this one came about. You met, shot me a message saying, hey, I'd like to be a part of this, and now here we are, and yes, getting to meet for the first time on the mic, and getting to know each other a little better, and that's kind of the beauty of this show, is like it's allowed me to introduce me to all kinds of great artists from all over the St. Louis and across the country and stuff, so thank you for reaching out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For those very kind words, and for carving out a little bit of time for me to
talk
with you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to be here, and like I listened, you have a brand new EP titled Burn available.
Yes.
And I listened to that and I loved it, and I was
thank you.
Yeah, so I got even more excited to come over and meet you
very cool.
And talk about that. So
well, I love it too, so I'm really happy that you love it.
Yeah.
It was kind of a whirlwind coming together, and then when it finally did, you know, having made music for so many years now, and that being my first like official release, it was very very fulfilling when it finally happened.
So I can imagine. Yeah,
yeah, it's exciting.
So let's go back. I would like to get some of the backstory about Samantha Clemens. I know. Well, you said you just recently moved to St. Louis, but you did live here before.
Yeah, I kind of lived in the area, a little further out west. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I lived in the area for about a year. Prior to that, I first fell in love with St. Louis. During like a blues weekender, because I used to be really big into like swing dancing and like dressing up in like 1950s stuff, and so yeah, I was very much into like the rockabilly scene, and there was a blues weekender here that I came to, and I got to visit the zoo and stuff, and really fell in love with the city. So
so where do you mainly grow up at?
I was an army brat, so my stock answer is everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah.
My mom is from St. Lucia in the West Indies in the Caribbean, and my dad grew up in rural Pennsylvania, in McDonald, went to Fort Cherry High School, and then I've been everywhere, North Carolina, California, Germany, Georgia, Texas, Kansas, Missouri. So, yeah, a little bit of everything.
Sure. Yeah. Is that, I don't know. Like, I guess I imagine it has pros and cons to all that. You know, I'm sure it's kind of tough, meeting, you know, making new friends everywhere you go and all that different stuff, and at times
absolutely. I think the one thing that I kind of get envious the most of with you know, people that have kind of put down roots and had roots in the same area for a really long time, like my husband, for example, all of his family lives kind of in this same area. But it's just like being able to say that you've been friends with someone since you were in like second grade or something like that. And Facebook and Twitter and all of those things are really great because I've been able to reconnect with a lot of people that I grew up with in Germany, in North Carolina, in California. But I don't know, there's something about having those roots down in one place that I'm sure can be beneficial. I mean, I could probably, if I thought, you know, I could probably come up with a couple dozen, in a couple of seconds if I needed to. So,
Is that when you just started discovering writing as a kid, or is that something you kind of came into later on?
No, it definitely happened as a child. I think I experienced a lot of bullying as a kid too, and which was probably kind of a little bit my fault, because I'm sure I was a really pretentious kid. People were just like, cannot handle her, she's too much. So no, you know, I'm not gonna blame those kids for it. It was probably me. Yeah, writing was just kind of a way that I found that I could most effectively manage those emotions, you know. And with the instability of moving every few years with the military, you know, that can be really rough on a kid. Right. So I think it's always been the one thing that's kind of like centered and grounded me. You know, my teacher never had to be like, okay, it's time to write in your journal. It's like, I've been writing in my journal all weekend, so let's do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it kind of started from there, and it just kind of snowballed. My mom went back to school and got her master's degree in rhetoric, and so she's very language oriented. And then all of my siblings, of which I have four, they are very into language as well. So I think it's kind of just a family thing, really. Okay. And then I started singing in the choir, and those two things just naturally came together after I got my first guitar when I was nine. I started actually writing songs, and then.
Does any of your family play too, or?
No. My sisters are both wonderful singers. They'll tell you that they're not. They're lying. They both have beautiful voices. My mom has a beautiful voice. I have an uncle that does some music stuff too, so it's kind of scattered around out there in the family.
Yeah. So, but I guess where'd the guitar come from? You just started having an interest in wanting to play, or?
No. Well, I mean, I wanted a clarinet.
Okay.
Guitars are much, much cheaper, and the lessons are much cheaper. Or you can just, you know, lock your kid in a room with it, and they can teach themselves.
All right.
Which is pretty much kind of what happened. With me, I did have a youth group leader that she played guitar, and she taught me some chords and kind of introduced me, and I'd go over to her house and eat ramen noodles and play Free Fallin' by Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And then just like rearrange those chords and write stupid silly songs about how I wanted a dog, and my mom was not having it.
I just saw was watching America's Got Talent last week, and there was a young boy come on there, probably 11, 12 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he said that he writes a lot of songs about wanting a dog, and that his parents wouldn't, you know, like or that's a lot, you know, like on his mind a lot. And then so he got out there, and because he's like, and Simon said, "Well, if you do well, I'll buy you a dog." And he's like, "What kind of dog would you like?" And he's like, "A German Shepherd." And anyway, kid sang and crushed it. It sounded so good, and like, so Simon's like, "Oh, you're gonna get that dog," and all this stuff.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so it was a neat moment. But I just thought that's what came to mind. I think
that's funny.
Yeah.
No, that's, you really do just write what you know.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, there's. I think that's the only way that you can connect with people, that you can, and that if you're using it as a means of, you know, coping with stress or anxiety, or, you know, some people use it to cope with mental illness, mm-hmm. and, you know, but, you know, I think really the only way that you can be honest and, you know, connect with people and use it as therapy is if you're writing about what you know. You can't really write about anything else anyway.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. You, so when do you, I guess, when do you write your first song? Is that all right around that time?
Yeah, sometime? That's probably the dog song.
All right.
There were probably a couple in there about my baby sister who I was on the fence about. She came around. then I fell in love with her, so that fixed itself. But Yeah, so I just kind of started then. I put it down a little in high school because I was like, sports, because this is the way that I'm not going to get teased. So I play a lot of sports.
What were you playing?
I played basketball, did some track and field, tennis. Tennis was probably my favorite, but field was probably the easiest.
Okay.
Just like chucking that shot put.
There you go.
Just got to have some upper body strength. I had that, so we were good.
Yeah, I did. I did football, basketball, and then threw disc and shot through, just to stay active and stuff. And but I was pretty involved in sports in my freshman and sophomore year, and then kind of put it all to the side and started working and stuff. And So you just start writing, you get the guitar, you're getting, and you put it down, and but I guess you come back to it
in college.
Then?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a pretty rough transition for me. I graduated high school and started at K-State when I was 16. So I was a little young, and you know, coming from a family where, you know, it was pretty strict. We were very, very sheltered, and kind of going from that to being in college and kind of having the freedom to do whatever you wanted to at any moment was very overwhelming for me. So I kind of retreated a little bit, and this guy, not this exact one, but guitar. But this guy came out, and I pulled the guitar out and started writing again. And that's kind of when I finally realized that this was something that I was just going to have to do.
Yeah.
Forever, I think. I don't think it, like, dawned on me that I wanted to do it professionally, because I was still very much, like, I wanted to be a professional. And, you know, when your family, your parents come from poverty, and or, you know, just lesser means, they tend to kind of instill in you this need to do well for yourself, and that the easiest way for you to do that, right, is to get an education. Mm-hmm. And get a, preferably something in one of the professions, like engineering or, you know, a doctor or a lawyer or something.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it still was like, you know, I want to do this, you know, full time. But it was definitely a great way to try to navigate that very, very interesting time for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You, were you playing open mic stuff or no?
Yeah, just writing songs, playing open mics.
I think
lying to the doorman to let me in because I was a baby still. Right.
Imagine that's got to be like the one of the most, you know, terrifying things, is to take that step from playing in the bedroom, writing songs or whatever, to now I'm going to go try to perform this in front of somebody live and in front of an audience and stuff. I think, I mean, I don't know. I've never done it, but I imagine that's got to be a big thing.
For sure. And I think for me, like, I have a, I don't know, I can be a bit of a perfectionist, so I'm super hypercritical, and I think that everything I do is terrible, and you know? So I think for me, it was even more difficult because, you know, every, like, I think it was on Tuesdays at this bar that I used to go to, PJ's Pub. I can't remember. I think it was on Tuesdays over the mic. But every Tuesday, I'd get ready. I mean, and this happened for, like, 2 months. I'd get ready. I'd get my guitar ready. And I'm like, I'm going to go play at this open mic. And then I just, like, look, like, catch myself in a mirror or something and be like, you're garbage. Go back to your bed. So no, I mean, that was, it was really, really hard the first time to get out there and play. And then finally, you do it, you know, something happens, you finally are just like, screw this, I'm just gonna make a fool of myself, who cares? Right. And then you don't make a fool of yourself, And then your life changes.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is the greatest feeling in the world. Like, I get to use these people as therapy. I get to sit up here and sing and feel good about myself, and they get to feel good about themselves. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
So you're doing the open mics, you're writing songs, and you're starting thinking like, this is something I can do for, and make a, when does the idea of starting putting a record together come about?
Well, probably almost immediately. I kind of tried a few different things, like put an alternative band together. Our name was Rain for Parades with Alec and Jack and Caleb. Oh man, those guys, this was 10 years ago maybe.
Yeah.
And we played some shows. I was in Manhattan, Kansas at the time, going to K-State, EMA. Oh. We drove up to Kansas City, played our first show at Record Bar, their old location, not their new location. And so we just started playing and people started responding. And then
You said alternative, like rock music stuff?
Yeah, it was an alternative band, but really it was probably more of just like me writing kind of soul pop folk songs, and then like, you know, an alternative backing band mm-hmm. playing behind me. It was very disjointed. I mean, it was cool. I thought it was cool, but you know, I go back sometimes and listen to like some of the recordings I made of our practices and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, it's a little, I needed some refining for sure.
I think we all do that though. Like, it's like, I listen back even the early days of this show and I'm like, you know, like some are pretty rough and like, but you know, it all starts somewhere, and it's like, that's the exciting thing is to like, just to have documentation of the growth, you know, is like, as you've developed as an artist and very everything true. Too, so.
No, that's really true. And I think you kind of have to focus on creating something as opposed to, you know, creating something great, because I think the great comes in the doing of the thing, you know? I think if you're doing something earnestly, you're bound to get better at it. And as opposed to like sitting in your basement tinkering and trying to refine this craft that isn't a robot, it's kind of this living, breathing thing, and you kind of need to exercise it and develop it, and you can't really do that on your own. I think you have to have an audience, at least in entertainment, because that's kind of what it's based around, you know.
Right. You get to let's get to Burn, and so you're playing with the band, you start doing your own thing then, I guess.
This is a few years later now,
right.
And I've had, you know, two kids and moved to Texas, moved back, and finally my husband was, I think my husband was kind of getting sick of it a little more than I was. He was just like, you need to make a record. Like, this is kind of ridiculous. And then I started writing this record and the songs just kind of fell out. I kind of hit a roadblock looking for a studio and producer to put it together with, but I had done some stuff with Joel in the past when I lived in Kansas City at Element Recording, and my husband, again, was finally just like, why don't you just call Joel? So I sent him a message, and he was down to work with me on this, and came together and did it in a 3-day weekend, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No, I'm so proud of what we did. He did a masterful job with what he was given.
So you wrote a lot of these just on acoustic, and then he brought in some extra players for the...
Yeah, so all these songs were written on acoustic guitar, and then I kind of just sent him some acoustic demos, and he listened and brought the guys together. Chase Horseman, Tim Braun, he's gonna kill me. Joel Nanos, who produced the entire thing.
Yeah.
I am drawing a blank. But Donnie Sanders, Dan Loftus, Herman Mahari, Lennon Bone on drums. He used to play for Ha Ha Tonka.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah. They all did just a brilliant job taking direction and contributing. And just, yeah, it was a great, great experience. And now we have this very cool record that I'm very proud of, Burn.
Let's share this the title track. You released Burn as a single in May.
Yes.
And anything you want to add around Burn? How this particular song?
Yeah, I mean it's probably one of my favorite songs that I've written. It was lyrically a little challenging. I was kind of going for this that song in Pocahontas, Savages, where they're like both saying the same thing but from different perspectives, and depending upon, you know, who you empathize with or who you associate with or with more, then, you know, you would be speaking it from that perspective, or at least siding with that perspective. So that was kind of the idea behind the song, and really loved the way that it turned out. Chase Horseman actually does the backing, contributed some backing vocals to this, and it turned out beautifully. This is Burn.
When did you go? Change the rules. When did you come to be so cruel? And I may be a bit naive, nothing to you. Yeah. I just crossed the line. No need
And Burn, the whole EP is now available, like I said, on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you're getting your music. Do we have physical copies also available?
We do not have physical copies. But yeah, you can get on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music. Mm-hmm. And then the video that we did for that song as well. You can find that on YouTube. So yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. I told you that I like a song you have on there called No Room a lot.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing's great, but No Room I liked a whole lot. We were talking, and I asked if you would want to play, and we played No Room live acoustic on today's show.
Yes.
This one, I felt like when I was listening, I don't know, now I could be... could be off, but also when you said earlier about being it's not quite full on rockabilly, but that 50s and stuff, it kind of made sense. But yeah. No Room in particular, I kind of got like there's some stuff you do with your voice, like I felt like almost like Etta James kind of influence coming through there, some of that kind of early soul and R&B stuff, and there's a lot of, you have a lot of power in your voice, and like, and some of that. So I feel like, I get a good feeling. Yeah. Cause she's also got that deeper mm-hmm. voice too. And like, so there's some similarities I felt in, with her and yourself and stuff. So, know, was that an influence at all or anything like?
I mean, that was like pretty much the only music that we were allowed to listen to when I was growing up. We were very like almost fundamentalist Christian. I don't ever remember like us going to denomination specifically, but we were very like no secular music. So really the closest that we could kind of get to that was when we'd hop in my dad's car and he'd accidentally have like Luther Vandross or Etta James and then there's the Mahalia Jackson CDs that he would actually let us listen to, and so all of those really like mid-century soul blues influences are really strong for me because it's what I grew up listening to for sure. So mm-hmm. And then there's the organ that they bring in on a couple of the tracks on the record that really I feel like put a nice finishing touch on that influence for me. So I appreciate that you noticed.
Yeah.
While it wasn't like super intentional, it's definitely something that I think kind of just is a thread that runs through me as an artist, and the music that I make are those soul, blues, and gospel influences. So.
Yeah, definitely. You anything you wanted to share around No Room at all? Story behind that song at all? Or
this one was. I do remember writing this song in a fury. Like, I was just, I don't know what I read. I don't know. and it was probably, a combination of a few different things.
Yeah.
But, I think this song for me is, was kind of about those people in your life, whether it's, intimately or in passing, that you just, they're just kind of hypocrites, they want something from you or from anyone really. The way that they interact with the world is kind of one-sided, they expect to be treated a certain way and refuse to act in kind or mm-hmm. And just the frustration around that feeling of injustice, because I think we all, even at a very, small level, we feel those like little injustices with one another every day, where we're offering more of ourselves than people are willing to offer to us or anything And so I just wanted to kind of write it in a way that was universal for everyone, but still kind of hint at some other things, you know. My writing, I want it to be as inclusive as possible. I want to talk about important things and not important things, and you know, because I think we're so complex that we can do all of these different things, but I want everyone to be able to enjoy what I do. Yeah. You know, and I don't want to feel like I ostracize people. So you'll notice in my lyrics, like, sometimes I can get a little I generalize a lot, or use some turns of phrase and that kind of thing, but it's really just because I want to be able to say what I want to say, but in a way that, you know, the most people can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. You mentioned being a mother of two, right? Is that influenced writing a lot too, or
absolutely? Yeah. I think so far with me, being a parent has just, like, highlighted for me what a crappy person I am. Like, I feel like that's what your kids are. They're just like mirrors for you to be like, oh, you think you're awesome. You're not awesome. You think you have patience. You don't have patience. No. So it's definitely, I turn to it more readily now, because I think I just need a coping mechanism more now with having two small kids. But it's also one of those things that I want to be able to show, you know, them what it's like to love something and engage with it. And so I think in that way, my kids have kind of like reoriented me and refocused me on this thing that I love to do so much, just because I want to kind of set that example and keep music in the house. But, you know, even more than that, more than the music thing, it's really just, you know, showing them what healthy hobbies and activities mm-hmm. and endeavors look like, and encouraging them to, you know, pursue those.
Yeah. So, yeah. You play for them a lot?
I do. Yeah. And my my son Eli loves to go get his drum and play with me, or his ukulele, which he calls his guitar, which it's all the same, right? He likes to go get his guitar and play along with me, which just, I mean, there's nothing greater than that, right?
Yeah.
It's like your kids seeing you and be like, I want to do that. Yeah. That person's cool.
Growing up, my father played a little bit, like, you know, kind of dabbled with guitar and stuff. Didn't never really, like, had a band or anything. But he did play out a lot with harmonica, like, played, you know, some bluegrass festival kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. He would just kind of, and then our blues bands and different things, he would just kind of jump up and jam with them sometimes. But he never, like, had a regular role in some of these bands or different things. But he enjoyed playing, and I can recall, like, Saturday afternoons or whatever, Dad get the guitar out, electric guitar, and start playing and things. And then me and my brother would come in there and start singing and stuff with him. And, like, we had our little family band going and stuff. And
Very cool.
It was a great time. And we had some, I mean, those are great lifelong memories, obviously, you know, and that. But
I'd love to give my kids that, you know. That's great.
I mean, having music around in the house, like, all the time. Like, I mean, my parents introduced me to so many great records, and that's a lot of where this addiction of my music addiction is growing out of. You know, so it's like all that stuff started when I was young, and then I just wanted to keep discovering new stuff. So
yeah.
But, yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're sharing music with them at a young age and stuff. And
I mean, I've actually heard that, you know, kids that are involved in, like, band and play instruments or can read music are better at math and science.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, there's I work actually for the school district, and that's we've got posters around that say, you know, say there's similar statistics and stuff about.
It's unfortunate that we can't seem to, like, adequately fund our arts programs,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
But if I can plant some seeds in these ones,
sure.
Then in the next generation, they'll right the ship.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
You can get involved with Samantha on we got the Facebook page.
Yes.
And
all of them. Facebook, Instagram, okay. Twitter. Little Red Fender on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, you can just find me, Samantha Clemens. You can find me on my website, SamanthaClemens.com.
And we're hoping like I said, you just recently moved, so things are a little bit crazy right now. But
they are.
But we're settling in, and hopefully we'll get some show dates on the calendar and stuff.
We will. I'm thinking it'll probably be more towards the end of the summer, early fall. Mm-hmm. But and then I'll be in New York City in October, and then I'm still kind of fleshing the details out there. But and then next year. Just keep playing shows and contributing as much as I can, where I can, really.
Do you think, like, the new stuff you're writing, obviously being again, like I said, a new mother and stuff, or is any of this coming into the new writing that you're doing now?
It's kind of I've been doing a lot more of going back and kind of revisiting a lot of old material lately. Because there's some, I do a lot of writing, so there's a lot of songs. But I think with the move and all that stuff, it's been kind of really crazy. So I'm really looking forward to being able to actually get down to the writing again.
Sure. But it'd be interesting too to hear how St. Louis influences your writing too, you know, how
yeah.
what you know, just being in all the new scenery and everything else, and what that kind of brings out of you, and you know, obviously very rich in blues history and culture here in St. Louis and everything else. I'm like, so it'd be fun to hear like just that progression again, like how what the next record's gonna sound like. So
I'm very excited about that. I will be getting in. Me and Joel actually just penciled in some dates for September, so we will be recording again. I think it'll probably be another EP or maybe just like a group of singles. I don't know. I haven't really kind of figured that out yet. But
I think EPs are great. Like it's nice to it's easily digestible. You know, it's like you can. You don't.
It's a perfect size snack.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I love a good record, but you know, full length album, but having four or five songs that you can listen to in 20, 30 minutes, whatever, and you get a great sample of what you're doing at the time, and that's the thing. I think I like a lot of it too. It's like some artists are constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. Like even by the time they are done with that record, like they're already onto something different or something else. So it's like. So I feel like it's nice to get a snapshot of what you're doing at that moment on the EP, and then maybe the next one can be something totally different than that.
I completely agree.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we're singles. I mean, it's just everything's digital now. People seem to. It's just kind of fun to be a part of this with everybody and like kind of see how everybody's approach is, because everybody's doing, you know, trying to figure out what's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think with all of the changes and how quickly it just keeps changing. This whole Apple publishing company thing is crazy. Right. I'm trying to figure out what are they thinking? How are they, why this now, but it really is just a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
And it's difficult too, because it's like, is it that I'm doing the wrong thing, or I haven't been doing the right thing long enough? You know, so you can kind of, it's crazy, but
yeah.
Well,
let's
be getting out there.
Yeah, for sure. Let's close it out with. You said this is probably your favorite. You said you debated back and forth if it was your favorite, but
yeah.
You think you would have settled on "Blow You Down" as your favorite from the EP?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's just. It's really intimate, but it's not too, the word that comes to mind is brittle. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but it's still kind of intimate, and I kind of get a little softer with this song, and I don't do that a lot, so, and I love the guitar part. When I wrote this guitar part, I was just like, I'm going to love this song. It doesn't matter what I say. I'm just going to love this song. I'm going to play it all the time. And I do. Even when it's like, I only have 3 minutes to pick up my guitar, but I really, really need to pick up my guitar. This is probably the song that I go to right now to just like belt it out, get it out of my system. Blow You Down is... squeaking out the other four for my favorites.
Yeah.
So. Do.
nothing ever made it too deep. At water's rose, I should have known you'd prove too much for me.
Say a video for this was coming soon.
No Room.
Okay. So keep an eye out. Another new video coming soon. But we do have, like I said, Burn is also on the YouTube channel and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
You can find it there. See my little minion.
Yeah.
Crazy kid running through the forest.
But this has been incredible. I've had a great time here hanging out.
Well, thank you so much for
getting to meet you.
Having me.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to, I think this has been a really great reintroduction to the area again. And I am super stoked that, you know, you sat down with me today, and I'm really looking forward to the next few months getting to know, what St. Louis is like now, and seeing where I can fit in.
So. Yeah, for sure. Being that you stepped away for a while from St. Louis and coming back now, is there anything in particular, like Emo's Pizza or anything like that?
I've already done that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the.
I will say the one thing that I will not be doing, and have. I just don't get White Castle.
Yeah.
I will never. My husband loves it. He thinks it's the bee's knees. I can't get with the White Castle.
Yeah.
No.
I work at Oyster Bar. I was telling you about that. Mm-hmm. And there's a White Castle right next door, and we get a lot of tourist stuff. People coming in, and a lot of the hotels direct them towards us for food and music and everything. It's always a hot spot down for a lot of people. And I heard in a conversation some guys outside, like, yeah, we gotta get some White Castle before we leave town and stuff. So like they were gonna check it out, and
they were probably disappointed. You were probably disappointed if you happened to be listening.
the burgers are pretty good. I do like their chicken rings, though. They have some pretty good chicken rings if you're gonna go there.
You know, I tried one of their little mini burgers. I don't know if it was a bad one. Maybe I got a bad one. But I'm not keen on the second chances with food.
Sure. Like,
with people, for sure.
Yeah.
I'll give you... I don't mind. But, the food. Once you make me waste my money once...
Yeah.
That's it. I'm giving you another shot.
Yeah. We, St. Louis does have a lot of things that are... It's kind of funny, but, like, all this, like, Nemo's Pizza, the toasted raviolis, and... gooey butter cake and all that kind of thing. It's stuff that, like, you know, I thought was everywhere, and then I found out, like, no, that's only a St. Louis thing. The people, like,
yeah.
You know, so it's kind of interesting that they're only here, you know, people that haven't really caught on with other, you know, doing all that. But but you can catch hopefully you see Samantha around town soon, and if you see her out, tell her, say hey. And
I probably have my head down because, you know, I'm a little shy. I'm kind of introverted, which is crazy for someone who plays music. but just tap me on the shoulder.
All right.
I don't have any stranger danger. I don't bite.
Yeah.
No.
But this is our special guest now.
Like, oh, yeah. This little guy. His name is Ellison. He is 2 months old.
His first podcast.
His brother got to be featured in a music video. I don't know how fair that is, but... no, I was joking, because with my my son, Eli, we own a utility construction company, and we started that after he was born, and we named it after him. And when I found out that this guy was coming, I was like, I gotta start another company.
Right.
Otherwise, they're gonna fight about this until the day they die.
Yeah, exactly. Again, thank you so much for having me over in your home here. I've had a lot of fun, and I look forward to watching you continue to grow as an artist and see what's coming up next for you. So
thank you so much.
I will see you soon.
Thanks, Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.